Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
We are back after a little break over the summer, and it's great to be bringing you a fresh set of conversations over the coming weeks that help us to reflect on the life and witness of our congregations at this time. The last episode before our summer break was all about rest and refreshment, and I do hope you've managed to enjoy some of that over the past couple of months, whether that's been making the most of staycations or simply getting a break from your normal routines. But with September just around the corner, we thought it was time to resume this podcast to help spark your thinking and also to share some of the brilliant work that is going on across our church. And these conversations are brought to you by the staff from PCI's Council for Congregational Life and Witness, with a variety of hosts across the coming season. But my name is Rick Hill, and I'm your host for this episode. Now, today's a bit of an introductory episode under the title Getting Restarted. And in this conversation, you're going to catch a glimpse of the current picture in three different settings. And now, we've deliberately invited contributors with a mix of leadership roles and church size and church context to offer as broad a perspective as possible. So for this conversation, I'm delighted to be joined by the Reverend Alistair Bates, who's minister in Wellington Presbyterian in Ballymena, Hayley Cullen, who's the youth worker in Muckamore Presbyterian in the Temple Patrick Presbytery, and Matthew Banks, who's the ministry apprentice in Tully Allen and Mount Norris congregations in the Newry Presbytery. And all of them will be sharing how they are approaching the next season of church life and going about trying to resume and restore some of the rhythms of church life. I really hope you enjoy the conversation. So Alistair, Hayley, Matthew, welcome to the PCI podcast. I wonder if we could just begin by having each of you tell us a little bit about yourself and your congregation. So Alistair, do you want to kick off?
Yeah. My name is Alistair Bates. I am the lead minister at Wellington Congregation Presbyterian in Ballymena.
Brilliant. Hayley?
So my name is Hayley Cullen, and I'm the youth worker at Muckamore Presbyterian Church, just outside of Antrim.
And Matthew?
I am Matthew, and I'm the ministry apprentice at Tully Allen and Mount Norris, just outside of Margaret Hill.
Brilliant. So a whole mix of roles and different range of context as well. Really thank you for joining us in this episode. And we're thinking a little bit about getting restarted, I suppose, maybe as we look towards September and having that around the corner. Alistair, what is getting restarted looking like in Wellington at the minute?
Well, getting restarted is looking less about numbers and perhaps more about people. And I think in reality, whilst it was always about loving God and serving God and serving people, I think I only personally became aware of how much I loved people when they weren't there. And for quite a number of months in lockdown, I was delivering live stream services with the absence of people in front of me. And I think for us, returning means that we are refocusing again on how to serve God and how to serve those that are returning to worship along with us. And we'll probably discuss throughout the program what shape that takes. But I think during lockdown, three things became pretty important to us, and that was the safety of people when they were coming back to church, and the practical help we gave people during their absence, and also redefining the pastoral care that we were seeking to give people during that time. And there's no reason that these should not be lost with people's return. So we're trying to focus a little bit on restructuring to enable that process to be much more evident in how we begin to worship God again.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful, Alistair. And as you talk about those were the things you've focused on over the last few months, what do you think, what are some of the key things that you're considering, you know, now and this season as you step forward over the next term?
Yeah, I think COVID stripped us back to the bare essentials of why we do church and how important doing church actually is for us. We'd never really been forced into that consideration before. We'd always taken for granted that we meet together as God's people, but I think it gave us an opportunity to reflect quite seriously on what we do. And we narrowed it down to three areas, I suppose, that we want to focus a little bit on, and that is engagement, nurture, and mobilization. You know, as we seek to engage one another? How do we actually do fellowship together? How do we actually become hospitable to those that maybe are strangers to church life? How do we then engage in nurture together? How do we nurture each other in the process of becoming better disciples? How do we equip our leaders to reproduce disciples in their own lives? And also then, how do we mobilize the church both evangelistically and missionally, not only locally, but globally as well? And I think we'd become distracted maybe as congregations before that. We were very thinly spread over a vast number of areas, events and organizations. And I think distilling that down to those three areas, at least for us at Wellington, has refocused us on what we're being called to do and how we seek to deliver that in the future.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I'll certainly come back to some of those things. Hayley, you're maybe bringing a more youth and children's flavour to this conversation, but what does restarting look like maybe there or within Muckamore itself?
Yeah, so similar to Alistair, it has come down to people for us and this idea of relationship. And whenever I think of church and of what would be happening with us as a church family, if we want to think about it pre-COVID, I was always so excited and loved the fact that church is a group of people that otherwise wouldn't be connected if it wasn't for God and if it wasn't for our faith in him. That when you look around the room when you're together, I just love seeing the different variety of people and ages and personalities. And I think that has become even clearer of how special that is within church whenever we now look. And it's not always, we're not always seeing the range of people in terms of age groups. We're maybe missing some of our young families. And so for us, it's people. How do we continue to prioritise relationship? And how do we try and get people back together again, which is what is so exciting about church in terms of young people specifically. It's how do we get back to just meeting with them? And that's been really good, actually. Simple things like going for walks and meeting up in the park, which were maybe overlooked before when you had more options, have been a brilliant way of just re-engaging and letting them know that we have missed them and that we've missed spending time with them. We've missed getting to know what they're doing and how they are. And so it's just about simple conversations and relationships and getting people back together and letting them know that we've missed that.
Yeah, and some of that's informal, but is some of that organized, Hayley, as well? You're creating spaces or you're creating little events and activities to do that?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely a mixture. It's informal in the sense that some individuals are able to do that themselves, but I suppose it's also facilitating them and equipping them to meet with each other. But also, yes, then when it comes down to Sunday morning ministries for our kids or for our young people, it has been facilitating that space where our volunteers feel safe, where the parents feel that their kids are safe. So yeah, it's definitely been a mixture of both informal and providing spaces.
Brilliant. Matthew, take us to the rural countryside of Tully Allen and Mount Norris. What has getting restarted been looking like and looking like in the next season as well?
Yes, to sort of affirm what Alistair and Hayley have both said, we're kind of thinking along similar lines. It was interesting, I think, whenever church for so many of us went online, you kind of took for granted how powerful friendship and fellowship in person is together whenever it's no longer there. And I suppose the conversations that our elders and my minister have been having with me is how do we offer that hand of fellowship and friendship back to those who haven't yet returned? And that includes people who were perhaps on the periphery of church, who only came every once in a while, but also those who sadly, because of COVID, haven't been able to return because of health problems or they're still shielding. And so creating spaces for those people, I think, is very important. I think also we've had many conversations about how we offer the social aspect of church back again, because we haven't really been able to do anything. We're thankful, obviously, that we've been able to return to in-person services. But I suppose restarting things like societies within church and youth clubs and stuff like that has been a little bit more difficult, but that's sort of where our focus at the moment is.
Yeah, so your focus is on trying to restart some things that haven't been haven't been present and yeah. really defining fellowship as well.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. I'm really interested in terms of what balance each of you are trying to strike between, perhaps between the things that you want to return to from before the pandemic and what things you want to retain of that you have been doing throughout. Alistair, do you want to pick up on that and then we'll hear from the others as well?
Yeah. I think during lockdown, particularly during the second lockdown, which seemed to go on for an indefinite period of time, it seemed much harder to navigate our way through that. We started to work together as a Kirk session about how we emerged from lockdown, because it was easy to navigate the first lockdown because everyone was very clear what the parameters were going to be. But when returning, there was a lot of uncertainty as to how we progress and emerge from this. Typical questions that were being asked of everybody was, how will we facilitate the organizations that we did quite easily when three organizations were meeting in the church on one particular day? And those organizations numerically could be a couple of hundred people in some cases, and that's not going to happen upon our return. How do we convince people to be patient, thinking that we're going to return everything in September the way that it once was? And yet there was a competing and conflicting thought in leadership, which was, I'm not sure we want to return to that. And many leaders were saying, I'm not really convinced that the busyness of what we were involved in before and the number of things that we were once running is justifiable, given the fact that we were literally quite burned out by it. And COVID gave us an opportunity to reflect upon our engagement with it and in it. And so we're not rushing back all of our organizations. We're taking time to consider how best to re-engage. So ultimately, we're looking at our internal organizations first and slowly beginning to rebuild them in the shape that will actually produce better discipleship mm-hmm. in the lives of those who are seeking to serve God. The balance will be that we will not guarantee that necessarily everything will return, and it certainly will not return in the shape that it once was, that it will be reshaped and fit for purpose and for this generation, and about building a generation of believers who actually can cope with this type of crisis should it emerge again. But it's an exciting time. It creates a good balance, I think, because we need to balance out what we enjoyed during lockdown, which was the time we had with people who were family. We look forward to rebuilding those relationships that we had missed, not around organizations and events, but around people. And we certainly didn't miss the busyness of the hectic schedules that we'd been involved in the past. And I don't want the church to return to that. But we as leadership mustn't allow that to happen. We must guard that process and not feel under pressure by people to resume activities that were not part of the necessary vision of what we are as a congregation.
Yeah, I wonder if part of the balance, to pick up your phrase, you said we're not jumping to return to all. But we are, you know, you are actually trying to restart some things, but it's working out what those priorities are for you as well. And that's maybe some of the balance there. Hayley, do you want to pick up on some of those themes in terms of the balance that you're trying to strike and what you're doing?
Yeah, I think what has been really interesting over the past 16 months or so, I think whenever we were unable to meet together in person, I definitely feel that any opportunities that were provided in order to meet together, even if that was virtual, we definitely felt that there was such a want and an appreciation of those opportunities to be together. And I think that feeling of really loving being together, whether that for me is spending time with our young people or it's a different mix of people from our church family, that is something, that feeling and appreciation of being together, that I would love to carry through to getting back together if that's in person. But what we obviously have missed is that there is a certain amount of the buzz around the place, and there's the community aspect that I miss, and also the different organisations that we maybe have within church that are reaching out to families in our local community that otherwise we're not meeting and we're not getting to spend time with. So as Alistair was saying, it is about prioritising, you know, so in terms of reaching out to the community, at the moment there's nothing that we are able to do that is reaching some of those families. But even in terms of our Sunday morning children's ministry, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, we had a Sunday school that was established before COVID, and we knew that we needed to get our kids back. And we did get them back in person, but it looked completely different than what it was before. They were still being together. They were still learning from God's word. They were still worshipping him. But on how it actually looked, it became very different. But on what it still was, being a Sunday school of kids together, was still that. So I think that's been a lesson as well of knowing what is it that we're trying to do, why are we trying to do it, but just how it looks might be a little bit different than it did before.
Yeah, I would agree with everything the guys have said. I think a more general thought about COVID that I had, particularly during the second lockdown, is it's interesting what people do, and I include us as a church in this. Whenever a crisis happens, we're all kind of scrambling for control. And COVID, I think, taught us that we have very little of that, generally speaking. And so I think a lesson that I have personally learned, and perhaps as a church we have learned as well, is sometimes submission is healthy to the things that you can't control. And I think returning to church, that's something we have to pick up on, is that there are going to be things, as both Alistair and Hayley have both said, that we just can't return back to, not only because as a result of the restrictions, but just the world is still, I think, in poise of uncertainty at the moment. And really one of those things that I think we're trying to be careful at is trying to strike the balance between keeping a presence on social media, but also not creating an atmosphere that is how normal church in normal days is done. I definitely think there's a really important ministry there. And I would say that I speak for everyone when sometimes the people that were tuning in, it was a great surprise, the kinds of people who are tuning in online, and that's wonderful, and that's an act of God's grace. But I also think we have to kind of facilitate that idea that being in person, being in a community, is such a powerful part of what makes faith wonderful, and the, you know, Christianity so unique is that we're not doing it alone, we're doing it together. But I think it's a difficult one to try and maneuver around with everything that's going on with the pandemic.
I think it was really helpful thoughts. I mean, all of you have talked a lot about things changing, or things, even things that have been lost. I'm wondering if you're seeing any particular opportunities, or there's potential areas of development that you're seeing or noticing, so things that are rising up, springing up new or fresh. So yeah, from any of you, is there anything that you're stepping into that's new and fresh?
I think from a leadership point of view, and this is just personal rather than anything else, I think ministers sometimes have a temptation to orchestrate for change because they're thinking about change or biblical issues daily. They tend to inadvertently at times direct leadership towards making certain changes. And I think for me personally, I had to step back and say, whatever church emerges from this crisis has to be owned to some extent by the leadership who are going to be permanently there even after I have left. So in our particular situation, Kirk Session, obviously in principle play a great role in making those decisions as ruling elders. But in those three areas of engage, nurture and mobilization, our Kirk Session have been meeting as three separate groups, but also collaborating together, looking at what type of activities they want to encourage on our return and how those are best structured. Identifying leaders themselves in terms of who they think would best facilitate those changes and modifications to how we do church life. They are required to have biblical examples of why that is important and necessary in their presentation to each other. And they fellowship together, and they were meeting maybe once a week for the last 4 or 5 months on occasions, trying to work out how that should be done. For me, that's the most exciting development within our congregational life, is that here is a Kirk session now passionately working towards those changes and modifications required in church life. And I have not engaged in those discussions. I will hopefully facilitate those discussions when they come to Kirk session level, as they have done, but it will be to moderate and not to transpose my own ideas and thoughts over what they should think, act, or do. And that was a great liberation for me, because in many senses, I was freed up to do other things without feeling that the burden of responsibility fell upon me. I think it falls upon us all as congregations as to how we move forward. And one of the things that I think COVID created, which maybe we can build upon, is a level of tolerance within congregational life. They knew that we could not do things the way that we had done traditionally. They knew things had to develop and change as a result of that. And I personally felt that at congregational level, people were very understanding of the limitations that we've been placed under and were prepared to reshape or shape how they did church, even in those months, according to the demands that were being placed upon us. I hope they don't lose that. I hope congregations come back with that level of understanding and sympathy towards having to reshape in order to meet the demands that have been placed upon us. And if we do, we have a great opportunity for change that we've never had before. And that's exciting.
Yeah, I think for us, people who would usually volunteer or help out with some organisations have, for various different reasons, decided that at the moment that that's not something that they can commit to, or that they are ready for something new. And initially, I was very disappointed. There's no way of saying that you couldn't, because you automatically then think, oh, we're stuck, and we obviously need people to volunteer in order for different things to happen. But there is opportunity in that, because it has given us and me a reason to get to know even other people better, and to identify gifts in them, and to identify opportunities that maybe for some people they have been waiting for, especially in terms of our children's ministry, that we are going to see a new group of people come and grow in their gifts and grow in different skills that they maybe didn't know before. And as well, I think there's also maybe a new generation of children. So because things have been running smoothly, or what we think is smoothly before COVID, that people just maybe continue to do things out of routine. Whereas now there's a new group of children, new group of parents. And so it's actually a refreshing opportunity to think, let's start to engage other people, and to do that, we're actively getting to know them a bit better first, and build a relationship with them. So that has been a positive, definitely, out of what was an initial disappointment.
Hayley, maybe Alistair, Matthew, you want to jump in as well. What have you done then to encourage leaders, or to coordinate leaders, to try to encourage some people to serve, maybe either who have served before or as you said, are coming to serve for the first time?
Yeah, so we are still probably in the early kind of stages of that, thinking of September for the new year. But even in the kind of month leading up to summer, we just did a week of Sunday morning children's ministry to finally get face to face. We were doing Zoom for a long time before that, and even the group of leaders there, a lot of them were new, especially a lot of teenagers that came on board because the opportunity was given to them. So I think seeing that for some of our leaders was a really refreshing way of knowing, actually, it wasn't difficult to bring new leaders or new young people along. It was just going and giving them a conversation, letting them know that you'd identified something with them. There was an opportunity there. I really just think it is about relationship and just identifying other people and showing them and encouraging them that they really could bring something. And to our team, whatever that is, just this example is children's ministry.
I would definitely agree with all of that. I'm becoming more and more convinced that if churches sort of old style, superficial way of just telling people the ABCs of Christianity, it won't work. And I think the way in which people are convinced that there's something different about the church to the rest of the world is by showing genuine care, support and investment in people's lives, because it's so lacking. Today, people live a very 9-to-5 routine. And sometimes that means that they're not being invested in and maybe not investing in other people as well, sometimes even their own families. And I think to have someone in a church who genuinely wants to be a part of someone's life is so important, and it can change so much. I don't think we should underestimate the value of that. And that's definitely something, like, we're definitely still in our infancy in our congregations of people boldly stepping out and wanting to lead and to encourage others and to do things within our congregations. But I've definitely noticed over COVID that there's a very healthy appetite for discussion. And I think where discussion happens, leaders will probably follow as well. Because I think they'll be convinced that it's not one or two people doing this, it's the body of believers doing it together.
Yeah, I think it's about recognition as well. Congregational care towards one another must be the highest priority in the body of Christ and not ministerial care. And I think for a long time we have left that to paid professionals or people that we just employ somebody else to take responsibility for that. And there was a disconnect. I think the congregation never owned perhaps the responsibility of loving and caring for one another. And I think that organically developed during COVID, of where they naturally started to make telephone calls to each other, sometimes on a weekly basis, just to see how they were. We got to build on that. We've got to move people away from this top-down model that we seem to possess, which is it's always somebody else's responsibility, probably paid staff, to deliver all of these things. And relationships are too precious for that type of disconnect to take place. I think they need to fall in love with each other. And when you do that, you act as a sibling. And sibling relationships within the body of Christ need to be nurtured and developed, but also recognized and honored publicly from the front, that, you know, if you become a member of this congregation, we hope and prayerfully believe that you will receive the congregation support and nurture that you need to do that.
Yeah, well, that's a really helpful angle to bring in about how we're really called to care for one another and to develop that kind of nurturing culture. I mean, I'm wondering, some of you have talked about a committed core maybe coming to the fore. You've also given hints and clues in each of your contexts. There is this kind of fringe, I suppose, of people who are disconnected. I'm wondering how, with pastoral sensitivity, we can be going about drawing others back in, encouraging others back in, or is it more working with that committed core? What's your approach in that season?
I suppose every church was faced with the reality that those that they expected would return maybe have been hesitant about coming back, and perhaps it hasn't been the fear of the health risk, but rather lack of provision. For example, children's activities had not resumed in the way that they once had. They were concerned about children making noise upon the return to church. And it was much more convenient to maybe watch it online. The question that many people are being faced with, particularly within ministry circles, is how distracted do you become? about trying to convince those who should already be convinced that there is a necessity to return to in-person worship? Or should we concentrate on those who have returned to nurture them and build them up into the disciples that God has asked them to be, and allow people under the grace and mercy of God to decide for themselves whether they actually miss church and what church was? And I think we have to allow people ownership of those decisions to some degree. I think we can encourage them back. I think we can make pastoral contact with them in such a way as to make it as easy a transition back to church life as possible. But we cannot take full responsibility for the adult decisions that they make, because they must take ownership of those decisions themselves. And so personally, I will work with whoever returns to church. Now, if our church is half the size it was before COVID happened, I can't take personal responsibility for that, and neither can the leadership. If we have done all humanly possible to make those people know that they're important and valued before God and to us as a congregation, and they decide otherwise, then we have to work with what we have and deal with that. I'm excited. I'm not looking for numbers. The numbers are no longer important to me. The character of the people being Christ-like is of fundamental importance. And that's an opportunity now maybe for us to spend time with fewer numbers of people, developing into disciples we'd always wished that they could be and perhaps wanted them to be. And maybe God has taken some of this away from us in order to refocus our attention again on what's important.
Yeah. Thanks, Alistair. So it's concern and it's contact and it's openness, but it's also, there's a kind of quiet trust as well, and letting people make their choices as well. There's one other theme I'd love to pick up before we move to our last question. With September around the corner, there are some activities that are beginning again. Maybe to those people who are listening and they're not sure to go about restarting some of their normal activities, or they're not even sure what to prioritise, what advice might you want to give? Hayley, could we start with you on that?
Yeah, I think if you're afraid of doing something or you're not sure what to do, just do something. So just at the end of June, we met with a lot of our youth leaders of organisations, and as well some of the different members of those teams came together to think about getting back in September. And the different organisations were then thinking as well specifically about them and what it might look like for themselves, but also taking time to reflect on their own individual experiences. And they found it really helpful of this idea of do something. And for me, then there's a second part of advice on that is to do something, but also if you are afraid about it, that's also okay. And it's okay to acknowledge what your fears are about different responsibilities about getting back together. And for me personally, I think I've just recently actually taken time to identify what my fears are even about doing something. And then you can build on what that looks like. I had a conversation with some of our BB and GB leaders the other night, and it was just really refreshing to know that we all were feeling similar in fears or anxieties, but also wanting to get back and to get our young people back in different ways, and to know that that was our priority, but that people do have different emotions and feelings coming towards it. So my advice would be to get together with your leaders, to spend time with them first. That also is to be a bit social, because people have just missed being together, to ask questions about how people are doing, how they have been doing, what have people been learning, what are their reservations, to also be vulnerable yourself in that with other people. And then from that to build together, knowing why are we looking to get back together? Why are we wanting different things to happen? What would we like it to look like? And knowing that people who are coming both to help and also both to be there have different experiences and stories from the last year and a half.
Yeah, I think feeling unsure at the moment is completely understandable. I think every congregation and every leader is feeling the same way. In terms of practical advice on how we restart, I think just gauging where you're at. If you feel on your Sunday mornings or Sunday evening services that people, there's still a kind of a culture of fear and just of timidity, then I would say start slow. Don't feel like you have to rush into getting things back really quickly. Because sometimes less is more. And people are being discipled in these days in very strange ways and ways that I don't think we've done before. And that's wonderful to see, because just sometimes even just our Sunday services, if that's the only thing in the week that people have, I think it's highlighting the importance of just being together there and then, than rather than racing about Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday to all different kinds of things, to have that one day that's set apart to be together and to be before God, to get back to the basics is maybe a good thing.
One of the things that I would encourage congregations to do is to stop making comparisons with other congregations. Every congregation is unique. Every congregation has people that God has gifted to that particular locality with particular gifts and skills and abilities. Work with those that you do have. Work at a pace that you can sustain. Forget what other people are doing and concentrate on what you can achieve and do with your people. Don't feel particularly under pressure to look successful as you re-engage with people, but just build relationships with those that are coming and grow at God's pace. And if that means sustaining and nurturing one another in the faith, that's what we were called to do anyway. And being better at something doesn't mean we're bigger as a congregation. It just means that we're actually more Christ-like in how we're pursuing it and what we look like to others. So start small, start, you know, fresh, start with the belief that God has brought us to this point for a reason, and rebuild again, and God will honour that.
Alistair, we'll stick with you for our last question. We ask each contributor to share something from God's word that they've found particularly helpful recently. So I wonder if we'll hear from you and then Hayley and then Matthew on that.
I mean, this is the most used verse in probably the Bible with the Great Commission, but it's been reinvigorated as I've looked out at this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even on to the end of the age." How appropriate it is as we emerge from the pandemic to know that he's with us, to know that we have a mixed multitude, some with faith and some who doubt, but that our missional goal is to make disciples. And that means spending time with people, journeying with them. Hayley mentioned something earlier about going out for walks together. It's interesting that Jesus communicated with his disciples either going somewhere or coming from somewhere. And in that way, they journeyed and walked together and had those conversations together. That's discipleship. You know, and we've got to find ways of exploring those relationships together and truly making disciples of all nations.
Yeah, I actually have just been looking again at the whole book of Jonah. And so for me, it's actually just a really refreshing reminder of two things. Of firstly, of who God is and his grace that he shows to his people. But also secondly, of who God uses and the kind of people that God uses for his ministry. And then so obviously in the book of Jonah, we see a man who doesn't do things correctly, who is trying to run away from things. He is scared by what he knows about the people, or trying to run away from different things. So we see who God uses, somebody that doesn't always have things completely together, is scared, has anxieties about things, has different ideas of what he wants to do. But we see God who shows him grace. And also then in just the verse I'm going to read is Jonah 2, verse 2, and it's Jonah praying to God, and he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Jonah was running, actively running away from God, but God hadn't ran away. God hadn't left, and he continued to be there with him, to know all of his emotions that he was feeling, and to listen to him and to help him. So yeah, a reminder of who God is, who we have in our uncertainties at the moment, and also knowing that he uses people who don't have it together, who are working things out. And yeah, that's just been such an encouragement, reminding myself of that recently as well.
I suppose I've been thinking quite a bit about maintaining friendships and relationships both in and outside of church, and a verse that I was drawn to recently from a sermon I listened to was Psalm 25 verse 14, which says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. And I've kind of been considering just how God, as Father, Son and Spirit, it was the first perfect friendship and relationship, and what that means for us as image bearers of God, particularly at the church at this time, and how if God himself exists in perfect friendship, then surely that's what we should be modeling to other people as well, and that we're trusting in the finished work of God at the cross, as Jesus, who was our covenant keeper, if you like, the promise keeper, and that he will see his friendship with us completed whenever we eventually reach heaven. And I suppose, just as I said, showing that to others is very important.
Well, thanks folks for those powerful reminders at the end. And thanks for all that you've shared today. It's been really helpful to hear from each of your contexts and also draw together some of those strands that we've chatted as we think about getting restarted again in our congregations. Thanks to each of our contributors today, and I hope it's helpful as you too consider how to step forward into the coming season in your own particular church setting as you seek to participate and serve, lead and grow there. Just a reminder before we finish that there are a variety of different resources available to help you in the refined section of the PCI website. Just go to presbyterianireland.org/refined and you will find a mix of practical guidance and advice there, including things like resources for children's ministry, ideas for youth ministry, and articles for leaders, among other things. I'd just love to draw your attention to two things in particular. Firstly, a section there called Redefined that shares a mix of stories of churches doing their ministry in fresh ways. And you'll maybe find a whole load of different ideas there. And also, you'll find information in the events section of the website about some upcoming online training, including one that I wanted to highlight for small group leaders. This will be on Thursday, the 23rd of September from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And it's actually in the format of a live broadcast, which is going to offer training input. And we're recommending that you invite and gather any small group leaders in your congregation to watch it together, perhaps in your church premises. Again, see the events page for more info, but that's a great opportunity to be gathering small group leaders together and helping to equip them for the vital work that they will be doing in the coming season. But that's all for now. And until next time, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.